Welcome back to the South Harbor Church Podcast. South Harbor is a part of the Harbor Churches, which exist to help people find their way back to God. This week, we continue our Church at Home series called One Another. And as a reminder, if you would prefer a video version of these messages, you can find those on our Facebook page, on our website, and through our channel on Vimeo.com. As always, after the message, we'll have more information about how you can connect to the South Harbor Church community, offer your services, and get help if you need it. And now, to get us started, here's Pastor Tim.
Hey, friends, and good morning, and welcome to South Harbor Church in your home. And my name is Tim, and you are in my home once again. I think this is, week four? Is anyone keeping time anymore? Was it March? Is it April? But you're in my living room. Some of you asked last week. You saw my dog made an appearance. Let me see if I can get him on the camera. That's a creepy baby. That's on the camera. But there, it's not a real baby, okay? It's a doll. That's my dog. His name is Lennon. He's 11 years old now, and I love this dog. Lennon McCartney Wilson. And he just kind of hangs out, and wherever I go, he goes. And so he's joining us for church this morning. Do you have a dog right now in your house? If you do, you should hug your dog. Tell your dog you love your dog. I love my dog. And we're going to worship together, including Lennon this morning. I was thinking about how do we begin this one. And I don't know what you've been up to, but I have been up to a whole lot of art this week. My kids discovered this. It's actually a couple of YouTube channels. And the YouTube channels actually show them how to doodle and how to draw. And they have just been cranking out art. And I thought I'd start by showing off. This is one of the folders. And we actually have a whole box of art. But this is one of the folders. You'll see. Okay, let me just grab a stack. I want to brag about my kids. Look at that. I believe that was an attempt at drawing my wife, Liza. I believe that's Liza. And there's Santa Claus. I know this is done by a 4 and a 6-year-old. I'm so proud of them. This is a dragon. What else? Oh, any guesses on who that is? Batman. I'm Batman. Yeah, so good. I think that's one of the Lego guys, right? And then we've got, let's just show you the personality of my two kids. So this is same doodle guy. They're following along step by step. This is Abram's contribution, my 6-year-old. And this is Joanna, my 4-year-old. Again, look at these. I love them. I love these kids. And then in case you're having a dreary Sunday morning or for whatever reason, well, there's probably a lot of reasons right now. If you're just you woke up and this is just dragging on, smile. Be happy. Abram actually created one, and I was like, that was really, really good. I was like, what is that? And he said, well, that's, Dad, that's Pizza Steve. That's Pizza Steve. It was a picture of pizza, and it was smiling. And I thought, of all the ways we could start worship today, we should start with some art, some Batman, some popcorn buckets, some Pizza Steve. That's what we've been up to in my house. What have you been up to? I actually would love to know the answer to that. If you have the opportunity, if you're by a computer or you're following along on Facebook or something, share in the comments. I would love to know what you've been up to. And especially kids, if you're kids, I'd love to know. But adults, what have you been up to? Have you been running, walking? What's been going on? We've had some time. Some of us have life has gotten way busier. And others of us, life has slowed way down. And that's just this interesting season. And so this morning, though, I want to talk about this. We're going to spend some time in worship this morning. I want to think about this. Because here's the thing. This was done by a 4 and a 6-year-old. And if you were to have said to me a couple of weeks ago that my kids would draw this kind of, I think it's pretty good art for a 4 and a 6-year-old. I would have said, I don't know that they would know how to do that. But then I watched them and they literally, when the person on the YouTube makes a line, they make the line, and then they make the next line, and then they make the next line, and they follow along step by step by step. There are two lines that show up in the scriptures. We've been looking at the one another's in the Bible. And there are two one another's that I want to dial in on this morning. There are 59 one another's in the Bible. And do you remember where we started? A couple weeks ago, we looked at love one another. And then last week, it was spur one another on to love and good deeds. This morning, we're going to look at two of them. The first one comes from a guy named Paul, actually both from Paul, one of the first Christian church planters and pastors. In a letter to a church he planted in Ephesus, he writes, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." That's the first one. Here's the second one. Same author from a different church. This one's to a church in a city called Colossae. He says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So to sum it up, Paul says, here's what I want you to do, church, early church. I want you to sing to one another, and I want you to teach one another. And so my hope today, just like they do on the YouTube, is I want to teach you how to do what we do in church every Sunday, because we're not able to gather at Mass right now. We don't have a band that can gather in your home with you. I can't come to your living room and preach a sermon. I would love to do that, but I don't get to do that right now. But I want to teach you how to do it. I want to walk you through step by step by step on how you get to do this. And my hope is that we get to create church in all of our homes this morning. And so with that, we'll come back to that. But for now, I want to turn it over to my good friends, Rob and Shanna, and they've got a few things they want to keep on our radars. We'll talk again in just a moment.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Hey, everybody. Welcome to South Harbor Church in your home. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at South Harbor Church. And the first thing I want to do is I want to reiterate something Pastor Tira said last week. She said that your pastors miss you, and we really, really do miss you. And now another week has gone by, and we miss you even more. This week, Shanna and I had an opportunity to spend some time talking on a Zoom conference with some of our friends from South Harbor Church, and it was great to see them and hear their voices and just talk to them about what's going on. So we're encouraging you to do as much of that as possible. We're actually trying to set up a couple different things through the church that you can connect with other people from South Harbor. One of those things is called virtual communities. And so we're basically doing what we do with missional communities, but we're doing it virtually because we have to. But we want you to join. We want you to be a part of these communities, just helping each other kind of work through what's going on in our lives, be friends, be the brothers and sisters in Christ that we are to one another. Do that virtually. You can go to our webpage, southharbor.org, and you can sign up for one of those groups. Another thing that we're offering are called Bless Labs. You might have heard us talk about those. We had one group that started in person and finished virtually, and we have another Bless Lab starting up. And that's really just asking the questions, what does it mean to help people find their way back to God? And what does it mean to be good news to the people around us? And those questions, we're going to be discussing those on Monday nights starting tomorrow, Monday, April 6th. That'll be from 8 to 9. Again, go to southharbor.org to find out more information about that. Our webpage is kind of like the bulletin right now. All the information you need is right there. If you have run into a need with the COVID crisis going on, we want you to go to our webpage. There's a way to find out how you can get help, how you can connect. So go there, look for any of that information. If you have kids at home and you are looking for ways to lead them, and they can't go to church because of this, the social distancing, every day at 8:30 on our Harbor Kids Facebook page, we're giving you guys devotionals that you can do with your kids. So I suggest going to that Facebook page, look that up, Harbor Kids at South Harbor Church. There's going to be a lot of information there, and we're going to give you guys a lot of tools to walk with your kiddos through this time. If you are a high school or junior high school student or have a junior high or high school student in your home, those groups are actually going to be meeting as well. We're going to do Zoom conferences with them today, Sunday, and our middle schoolers will meet at 4:30, and our high schoolers will meet at 6 o'clock. You can go to the parent Facebook page for South Harbor students to find out more about that and find out how to connect. So we're trying to create some ways for you guys to do that. We're doing our best. If there's anything you need, please contact the church. You can go to that, again, to the website, and you can click through on the care thing if you need help, and we'll get back to you within 12 hours. There's one other thing I want to say. One of the things that we talked about last week, Pastor Tim had some time in his message, and then we sent out an email from Tom Ellenboss about giving during this time, and we realized that giving is going to be affected. A lot of people have lost hours or jobs, and we asked you guys to please consider if it was still within your means to continue to give. And I will just say, we have some of the most generous people in our churches, and South Harbor Church and all the Harbor churches, we saw a really nice increase in giving last week. If you are looking for ways to give, you can still do that online. Go to the webpage, top of the page. It says Give Online. If you click into that, it'll take you to a page where you can specify the amount you want, or it also has the address if you want to mail in a check. If you still have checks and envelopes and stamps, you can send in a gift that way as well. So we're so thankful for all of you. We are looking forward to the day that we can meet again with you at South Harbor Church. Until that day, we'll be doing it this way. I'm actually going to turn this over to Shanna. Pastor Shanna has a prayer that she would like to walk us through. And so I'm going to do that now. I hope to see you soon. Grace and peace.
Hello, friends. As Rob said, my name is Shanna, and I am a pastor with Harbor Churches at South Harbor, and I have missed you. It's been hard to not have our regular rhythms of Sunday mornings and the other ways that we typically gather. And in that spirit, I just really felt as if it would be important for us to spend some time praying together. So I'd love to invite you to do that with me right now. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'll pause, and then I will say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And at that time, I would love for you to say that particular refrain out loud with me. And we can pour our hearts out to the Lord together in these next few minutes. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you that as we gather, we know that you are here with us in our midst. Thank you for your steadfast love, your faithful love, the enduring and relentless ways that you have pursued your people throughout generations. We come to you lifting our hearts and asking you that you would hear our words of praise, our plea of hope and healing, our concerns, our fears. Our hearts are heavy, Lord, and we need you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We confess, God, that sometimes the needs that we see around us and the fears that we feel inside of us can be so overwhelming. We ask that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who have lost jobs, who are facing food insecurities or living conditions that are unsafe and scary. We pray for parents who are trying to work and educate their kids and take care of them. We pray for kids who are missing their friends, missing their teachers, missing structure, missing graduations and proms and celebrations and predictable rhythms. We pray for all of those, all of us who have had to make big decisions, hard decisions, big adjustments. I've had to reschedule weddings and funerals and births. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those who are sick and afraid and overwhelmed, suffering, desperately, desperately seeking you, but may feel that your voice is silent. We ask for you to reveal your presence and to reassure us that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you are in control and faithful and sovereign, even in the middle of our uncertainty in this really unfamiliar and disorienting time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And finally, Lord, we pray that as your people, we will live in love in such a way during this time that others who do not know you will see and experience your love in us and through us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I want to close with some promises from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. We love you. We are here for you. Please reach out if you need someone to talk to or pray for you or pray for people that you love. We would be honored to do that. Keep taking care of yourself and keep taking care of each other.
Right. Thank you, Pastors Rob and Shanna. And let's get at it. Let's do it. We began by looking at the two one another phrases that we're going to look at this morning. Do you remember the two one another phrases? Essentially, it's sing to one another and teach one another. Sing to one another and teach one another. People ask me relatively frequently, people ask me where I get the content for sermons, what books have I read, or what book did I read? What website did I go to? Where did I get content for sermons? And I never really know exactly how to answer that question, because it's actually less about a specific book or a specific website. Sometimes there's a great book or a website, but it's usually less about a book or a website, and it has more to do with a process. In fact, there's a four-step process that I use with every single sermon, every single Bible study, every single, even just devotions. There's a four-step process that I use. And this process, I'm telling you, this process continues to become more and more fun the longer I do it. And what I want to do this morning with you is I want to teach you the process. I want you to be able to do my job. That's my goal. When we're all done with this season, I want you to think, oh, well, I could just do his job. That would be great. In fact, right now, I kind of like the low quality, we're not going to pretend that church is normal right now. I actually want to take advantage of this opportunity, as weird and strange as it is. And I miss you, and I can't wait till we get to do this again as a big church. But I want to take advantage of this opportunity and actually start trying and practicing. What does this look like for us to do this in our homes, with our friends, with our loved ones, with our families? How do we actually begin to step into this? And I think we're going to grow through this season. I really, really do. That said, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Well, by the way, you may want to also grab a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, some kind of writing utensil. Don't worry, you don't have to pause this or anything. I'm going to share a couple other things before we get there. So you just turn the volume up or whatever, and you have a few minutes. But Mark chapter 11 is the Palm Sunday story. It's Palm Sunday, which means next week is, he is risen indeed, Easter. And so we're going to celebrate the resurrection next week. We're going to launch 1,000 churches next week because there's 1,000 of you. Okay. Anyway, if you joined us last week, you may remember that that we talked a bit about the early church and how the early church, when the early church was like growing and expanding and beginning, the early church was growing and expanding and beginning in the midst of a season of conflict. The word we used was the word persecution. It's a long, fancy word that essentially means there were some people that didn't like what the early Christian church was doing. In particular, a group of people known as a nation known as the Romans. The Romans. And these Romans, because of this persecution, it actually became illegal to celebrate Jesus, to worship, to gather, became illegal. And so what the early Christians did was they had to be creative and they had to find ways to worship that that allowed them to not actually meet any like in large public gatherings. And so for many of these Christians, they began to meet in their homes. And sometimes it was just their family. Sometimes it was a group of family. Sometimes it was a group of individuals. But they would meet in their homes. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to a city called Cappadocia. Cappadocia. It sounds like a Mary Poppins song or something. But Cappadocia. And the tour guide, it's in the country of Turkey. And our tour guide, as we're pulling up to Cappadocia, he says, "Okay, we've arrived." And I'm looking out the windows of the bus, and what I'm discovering as I'm looking out these windows is there's nothing here. Cappadocia is essentially, there's like a well, and then there's nothing else. It's like a field, like just like a desert field, and then there's a well in the middle of the field with a gift shop next to it. And I'm thinking, are they selling gifts because of the well? Like, what's going on? And turns out Cappadocia was a city underground. I think it was 28 stories underground. And the well was actually an air shaft. And turns out we actually were able to go down 28 stories. And what you discover at the base of the 28 stories is a church. During the height of persecution, during the height of, oh no, if you worship Jesus, not only will you get arrested, but it can get very, 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 very ugly. During this season, the early church found ways to worship underground. Beyond that, a couple other things. The letter of Revelation at the end of your Bibles. If you go to the end and you get to maps, it's right before that. The letter of Revelation is written by a pastor named John. John is one of Jesus' disciples. And the letter of Revelation, if you discover in chapter 2, is written to seven churches. John is the pastor of seven churches in seven different cities. Now, maybe you're wondering, like, well, how does John pastor all these churches? Does he Zoom in or does he Google Hangout with all them? No, of course not. No, John had to teach them the tools so that when he wasn't with them in person, they actually could learn how to do church on their own. And what you discover is most of our New Testament are letters written by pastors, Paul, Peter, John, letters written by pastors instructing their churches for how to continue on the worship, continue on teaching and singing and without the professionals. Like, how do you keep doing it? Because it's not about being professional. It's about Jesus. It's about worshiping him. And there's even a story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts is the story of the early church and kind of the movement of the early church. And there's a story in Acts chapter 16 of these two guys named Paul and Silas. Paul, the same pastor who gave us the two one another statements. Paul and Silas get thrown in prison because they healed a girl. She was sick. They healed her. People didn't like that they healed her, so they throw them in prison. And it was midnight, and Paul and Silas begin singing. Now, if you're wondering, did the church band show up? No, there was no church band. There was no Michael W. Smith CD. There was no Wow. How many Wow albums are out now? Like 794? There was no Wow 794. They knew the songs, and so they sang them. Whether or not their voices were great or not, they knew the songs, and so they sang them. Now, Jared's going to teach a little bit about singing. I want to teach, in the time we have, I want to teach a bit about what is the four-step process to actually learn the scriptures and begin teaching the scriptures, especially if you're a parent and you're watching this, or you're a young person and you're trying to figure out, like, how do I do this? Like, dial in. This is like the secret sauce. my opinion. First, so write 1, 2, 3, 4. These are my 4 steps. Number one, again, remember, we're trying to draw along here. We're trying to draw along. Let me draw the first line. The first one, write the word text. Text. Essentially, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to pull out your Bible, your biblical text, your Bible, and I want you to find the story. So it's Palm Sunday. Let's start with that story. And it's just so we're all looking at the same version of that story. There are 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all write an account of this one moment. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, the story of Palm Sunday. And all 4 Gospels record it. Mark's is the shortest. So let's start there. Let me read you the story, because we should always begin with the text. What does the Bible actually say? Let me read you the story along with you. Mark 11, let's start in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and it will send it back, and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And as his disciples heard him say it, we'll stop there. So, first, text. Just read the story. Read the story. Okay, start there. Read the story. Second, so number one, text. Number two, write the word questions. I want you to ask as many questions as you can think of about the story that you just read. Even questions that you think you know the answer to. Write down the questions. This is the step that for me, almost every major breakthrough insight I've ever had has come because I've asked a good question. So ask the questions. So for instance, in this passage, as they approached Jerusalem, who's they? Who are the they? I think I know the answer, but do I know the answer? As they approached Jerusalem, where's Jerusalem? Why are they going to Jerusalem? Is there anybody else coming to Jerusalem? And they came to Bethpage and Bethany. Bethpage and Bethany? They came to 2 spaces? Like, which one? At the Mount of Olives. Where's the Mount of Olives? Can you find a picture of the Mount of Olives? Does the Mount of Olives still exist? Why is it the Mount of Olives? Why olives? Jesus sent 2 of his disciples saying to them, so why 2? Go to the village ahead of you. Where's the village ahead of them? And just as you understand, ask the questions. Ask the questions. This is the muscle that the more you flex this muscle of asking questions of the scriptures, the more you'll start to see things. Right, Lennon? Oh, there he is. He's still worshiping with us. He's still in this. How you doing? Third, okay. Text. Questions. Number 3. Is a section I call context. Context. This is the spot that you try to answer the questions that you've asked. Now, some hints. Look up a map. Look at the story ahead of the story. Look at the story after the story. Ask a friend. Call me. Ask me. Honestly, this is what you find in the New Testament is when the early Christian church got stuck, they would call their pastor. Call me. Ask me. Shoot me an email. But don't skip asking your questions. So context is trying to answer the questions. Like, we start with the text, Then we move into questions. Why is this here and why is that here? Then it's context. And the last step, fourth, this is the fun one. I call this step my text. My text. Text, questions, context, my text. By my text, I mean, what is the personal thing, the personal message that God is saying to you? What does this story mean to you? What did you learn? What are you being challenged by? What surprises you? What encourages you? What do you feel? How have you experienced this in your life? If you can, get it down to one sentence. Here's my one. So I did this with this passage this week, and the one sentence I have with this story for me this week is, following Jesus requires participation, and participation requires sacrifice. Because Jesus sends out two disciples to find a donkey. People are spreading their cloaks on the ground. People are waving palm branches. It's like a full-on communal thing. And there's layers in the story, and I've taught this story every Palm Sunday, plus some other times. But this week, in the midst of what's going on in our world, that felt like the phrase that just leapt out at me, that participation, that word, participation, has stuck with me. What is your my text? Well, as you step away from this story, like, what is the thing that you see, like, leap out at you that God is saying to you? That's it. Four steps, four simple steps. And I'm telling you, I do this every single time I write a sermon, and I think you can do this too. We're going to teach one another. Let's teach one another. Share each other's wisdom. Share each other's what you've learned, what you've experienced. Those of you who are older, you've experienced and learned probably more things than those of us who are younger. I put myself in the younger category there. I wasn't intending that. But you, teach us. Teach us how to do this. Hey, listen. Today is a great opportunity. If you do this work and you have questions, I want to jump on Facebook Live again at 3. And we're trying to keep these services to really, like, how do we engage in the worship as families and friends. And so there's some deeper content stuff that's happening on a podcast that we're releasing. So you can jump on our website and get the podcast to that, or we can hang out on Facebook Live. But I'm just really excited to hear the stories and keep them coming. Share your stories. I want to hear how you are, that makes my week. Okay, so if you want to know how you make my week, it's when you share with me a video of your kids singing worship songs or a picture of your family drawing leaves from the tree. Like, that makes my day. So thank you. And before I turn it over to Jared for some teaching, let me say a prayer for you. Gracious Lord. Lord, we thank you that you gave us not only, Lord, you gave us the scriptures, but you gave us your spirit to read the scriptures and to understand what it is we're reading. And Lord, we recognize that right now in the season that we're in, we need to hear you speak more than ever. Lord, would you remind us that we can do this? Lord, would you remind us that you, that in Jesus, you took the power from the religious establishment, and Lord, you gave it to all believers. And so I pray that this morning we would feel empowered. We would feel like we can do this. And Lord, we would begin practicing exactly what we see happening throughout the scriptures. Or we would look more and more like your hands and your feet in this world. And so Jesus, I pray all this in your name. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, everybody. So one of the things that I appreciate about the songs that we sing around church is that so many of them are really good for helping us to speak and to teach and to learn the truth of God's word with each other. If you were with us a couple of weeks ago, we started with a song that was taken straight out of the Gospel of John. And songs are a really great way to help us memorize scripture. Many of us have discovered that music is actually a really helpful tool for committing things to memory. So if we put Bible verses with music, they're much easier to remember. Of course, memorizing the scriptures is really important because God's word itself tells us that it's a really helpful thing for us to have when we need it. And so to have some scripture memorized means that when you really need to be reminded of
what's true about our God, you can actually just call it right up. And so one of the beautiful things about singing together is that it gives us an opportunity to really cement in deep into our memories some of those really important lessons that we've learned. The song that we're going to sing this week is called My Lighthouse. It's pretty popular these days. My kids, when we talked about this with them, they were kind of excited that this was going to be the song we were going to sing. In preparing for this video today, I said, let's go find some Bible verses that are that sort of back up the lyrics of this song. And one of the challenges that I realized is like almost every line of this song could be pulled from a different Bible verse. One of the most important ones is this concept of the lighthouse. And I realize that there's probably no Bible verse that specifically mentions a lighthouse. One of the creative things the authors of the song have done is to cast a mental picture for us that's something that we can sort of understand. So the psalmist said that God's word was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. And so for many of us, it may be a little bit difficult to sort of conjure up the mental image of what that means. But most of us have seen a lighthouse or have learned about what lighthouses do. And the concept is the same. The psalmist is making a reference to the teachings of God as being a guide, as being a way for him to know how to live. And so this song once again reminds us that there is a path and there is a guide. And you'll find the imagery of light throughout the Bible. Jesus himself even said that he was the light of the world. It got him in a ton of trouble. And so today as we sing this song, there are some words that are really valuable even for us today. The second verse begins with the line, "In the silence you won't let go." The third verse begins with the line, "I won't fear what tomorrow brings." And I just know that I so appreciate being able to remind myself and to remind my kids that these are the things we believe are true, that God's not gone, and that in whatever it is that we do, he's with us at all times. And in fact, if we would trust him, he will show us the way to go. And so with that in mind, I'm going to ask a couple of my kids to join, and we're going to...
Troubled sea.
Thanks, everyone.
Hi, South Harbor. My name is Ashley, and I'm the elementary coordinator here at South, and I'm so excited to be able to spend some time with you all today. I wonder what you guys are all doing to keep you busy. I've been playing some ping pong, hanging out outside, taking lots of walks, drawing lots of pictures, just doing anything I can to keep myself busy. I hope you guys are finding fun things to do as well. Today, we've been talking about praising the Lord through songs and how to teach one another. So I want to do a couple activities with you guys to show you how you can do that throughout the week. So we've been sending home a take-home worship, and it's something that you guys can do with your family, with your brothers and sisters, with your mom and dad. So if you guys could get that out now, that'll be super helpful for what we're going to do next. So today I want to start, if you can find some paper in your house and a pair of scissors, that would be awesome. So it can be construction paper, regular paper, lined paper. You can decorate the paper, you can leave it blank, whatever you want to do. But we're going to get some strips of paper. So you're going to cut them into strips. I have 6 strips of paper, and I wrote, "I am always with you" on them. So I wrote one word on each strip. So I did that because something that I want to remember within the weeks to come is that God is always with me. So when I look at these strips, I want to remember that promise, that God is always with us no matter where we go. So we're going to do more with that later, so hold off on that, but get it started and we'll get back to it. So this morning we learned about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were locked in jail. That would probably be pretty scary, but Paul and Silas, they weren't afraid. The Bible says that they weren't afraid, but instead they sang praises to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been in some pretty weird situations. I've never been to jail, but I've been in trouble. I've been grounded. I've been sent to my room, and I bet some of you have as well. And when I was sent to my room, the first thing that I did wasn't start praising the Lord. I was like, what in the world? I don't want to be in here. Right? We get frustrated, we get angry, but not Paul and Silas. They were rejoicing, they were praising the Lord no matter what their circumstance. And that is something that's so special that we can do all the time. We can always be singing to God. We can always be praising Him. It didn't say in the Bible that Paul and Silas were rock stars or awesome singers. They just said that they poured out praises. And that's something that we can do all week long. We don't have to be the best singers. We don't have to be trained. We don't have to have a worship leader leading us, even though we love our worship leaders leading us because they are awesome. But we don't need them to do what we want to do, and that's praise Jesus, because God loves hearing our voices. He loves when we lift our voices to Him. So this morning, with these strips of paper, we're going to make a praise chain. And what that is we're going to have something that looks kind of like this. So you're going to put those pieces together and form a chain. So Paul and Silas were in jail. They were in handcuffs, like chains, right? But no matter what their circumstances, they were singing. They were praising the Lord. And that's what I want you to do this week. So I want you to be able to hang this praise chain somewhere in your house, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your living room, wherever you want that you know you'll see it. And every time you see it, no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's happy, sad, frustrating, I want you to raise your voice and praise the Lord, because He loves when we worship Him. And something that's really special about the Lord is He loves our voices no matter what they sound like, and He gives us all special gifts and talents that are all a little bit different than everyone else's. So this week, I want you to teach one another. We can teach one another to worship by our attitudes, by how we treat one another. We can teach one another things that the Lord has taught us how to do, that He has gifted us with. Maybe you can teach each other how to read your Bible. Maybe you have a really good way of getting in the Word of God that you can share with your family so that they can as well. Maybe you love to pray, and you can pray for the people in your family, and you can teach them some things that you're learning about God through prayer. Maybe you love to dance, and you can teach your family a new dance. Maybe you has been looking at your prayer chain and you want to write a song to Jesus and you want to teach the people in your family that song. This week, I encourage you guys to spend time with the Lord. And the more time that we spend with Jesus, we can feel comfortable teaching others about Him. I coach volleyball. And the first time that I was teaching a girl how to play volleyball, she didn't know what she was doing. right? She was just learning. She was brand new at the sport, but she kept at it. And that's exactly how we can be when we want to teach others about the Lord. If we know a lot about Jesus, then we can teach others about him. And if we know a lot about dancing, then we can teach others how to dance. If we know a lot about singing, we can teach others how to be confident in singing and finding their voice, no matter what it might sound like. So this week, I have a couple questions for you guys to discuss with your family, or if you're watching this with a friend or a spouse. And if you're watching this by yourself, feel free to pick out a journal and write down some things. Maybe the Lord's going to reveal some things in some quiet time with him this week, maybe even today. So some questions I have for you are, what is your favorite song? What's your favorite song that maybe makes you feel happy, feel joyful, just want to dance? What is that song for you? Another thing that you can ask with your family are, what are some of those gifts that God has blessed you with that you can teach somebody else this week? I want you guys to take some time and talk about those, write them down, make some awesome praise chains, and I want you guys to have an awesome week. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you this morning, and I look forward to seeing you all super soon.
Right, we've made it to the benediction. If you would, please, let's stand for the benediction. Even if you're in your bedroom or your living room or wherever it is, I know maybe it's a little weird, but weird's okay. Would you please, let's stand for the benediction. And you know what? We got Lennon. Should I wake Lennon up for the benediction? See? Oh, man. That's the life right there. He's living his best life. But let's have a benediction, friends. And again, so we've been doing a podcast, and in the podcast, we're tackling some of the heavy issues that you probably, we will do some more as I have more conversations with people who job loss and sickness is, it looks like that's coming we've been talking about things like the problem of evil. Is this God's plan? Ooh. I've been trying to walk through some practices and meditations. All of that can be found there as well. But for now, it's Sunday. Let's have a benediction. Would you please stand for the benediction, my friends? May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I miss you. Enjoy this day. I will talk again soon.
Once again, we want to say thanks for listening. For more information about the South Harbor Church community, where you can go to find help if you need it, or where you can go to offer goods and services that you may be able to provide, visit us on the web at www.southharbor.org. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at South Harbor Church. For a one-stop shop of our most up-to-date information, we are currently utilizing email through Constant Contact. If you are not receiving either our Friday morning updates or our Sunday morning updates, please contact us at shinfo@harborchurches.org. That's the letter S, the letter H as in South Harbor, and then the word info, shinfo@harborchurches.org, and we'll be sure to get you on the list. Our Constant Contact email includes links to our Sunday resources, our midweek resources for kids and families, as well as information about how to connect to the community at large. And so from all of us here at South Harbor Church, once again, we pray that you have a blessed week.